40.75%, that was the profit in the last Lucid trade. And for this week, I have a new stock which I will buy into the $1,000 challenge, where I try to grow $1,000 as fast as I can and as much as I can. A new week is here. You're listening to the Stock Invest podcast, Trading Tips with Jim, as we head into week six. Last week was a good week for Nasdaq, up 1.19%, but it was the end of the week, and especially Meta pulling Nasdaq up. Meta with fantastic numbers and even reporting the first dividend ever for the company. Good thing for Zuckerberg, who will receive quite much money. Dow Jones also had a good week, up 1.43% for Dow Jones to $38,654. Last week was full of quarter results. This week will be full of quarter results as well, but not so many of the big hitters. Among those coming this week is Disney. I believe it's Wednesday. Disney will come with their quarter results. That's maybe one of the biggest. Palantir will be today. That's an exciting company, and I expect some movements for Palantir today, together with McDonald's and Caterpillar, by the way. Tomorrow, on Tuesday, we will have Eli Lilly, Spotify, and Chipotle earnings. On Thursday, we will have Pinterest and Expedia. Friday, nothing really. I think it will be Pepsi on Friday. So they will come during the week, different companies, and you of course have to know when your company has earnings so you are sure what is happening. The big thing last week was of course Nvidia and Meta really boosting the markets. And before Meta and Nvidia released their quarter results, the average of the companies releasing results were down by more than 1% from the previous quarter. But the good results in Meta and Nvidia actually make four quarter results so far to be better than last quarter by 1.6%, if I'm not mistaken. Now, last week had another thing. Powell was speaking, and Powell said that, I'm not sure interest rates will go down as fast as you think, and they shouldn't, because there are things in the economy that is still way too hot. The job numbers is one of them, came in above expectations last week. And just let me give a few points about these things, about inflation, interest rates. Before New Year, it was 80%+ chance that interest rates would be start cutting from March. I told you then that I'm not sure that will happen, and gave you all the reason why I didn't think that will happen. Now it seems like it will not happen, because it's only 20% chance in the market for expectations for rate cuts in March. Sorry if you have a lot of debt. Doesn't seem like interest rates will go down by the very, very first. Now, that puts Fed into somewhat hard position, because the money supply is falling. You want that to some degree, but not too much. The M1, the M2, M1 money supply is the amount of money that you have more or less in your pocket. M2 just includes different savings and money that you can get to very, very fast. If you need to release cash, you can sell stocks, funds, etc. Money that has high liquidity is considered into M2. And M2 was falling, is currently falling. And every time that has happened before has been met by a catastrophe in the work market, and depressions have followed. The big difference, and here we go back all the way to 1873, and every time this thing happened, that the money supply was shrinking, less money available in the market, you had a depression. Following depression, the unemployment rate skyrocketed above two digits before finally getting back on track. the increase in the interest rates had one purpose. It was to slow down the spending, of course, because the inflation was way too high. So, but other things are happening now. The big thing in this picture is that during the worst of the COVID, governments were just printing money like crazy, sending checks, $1,000 checks everywhere, almost to empty postbox. Whoever wanted $1,000 got $1,000, and they just kept doing that. And that, of course, all that money printing caused a huge increase in the money supply by trillions of US dollars. This reaction back may just be a natural reaction back from that, but it is a warning sign and we should take it seriously. The job numbers, as I said, came in above expectations, but if you look behind the job numbers, there is a quite many things that is disturbing, because you read one thing, and one thing you read last week was that the big companies, they are laying off people at record speed. All of the bigger companies are just laying off people and signaling that they will lay off even more people. At the same time, the job numbers come in very strong. So what is happening? Well, one of the things that is happening is that work participant is at the lowest number that it has been in decades in the United States. I think it's only 69% or so, and that just means that many people, they are just outside the work market. They either get too much benefits, so it's no need to be in the work market, kind of like Norway, by the way, and that then, of course, if you have less people in the workforce, then unemployment rate, of course, will be lowered by the number. And then we have all the governmental spendings and where these employees are being, etc. Still good indeed that it's low. It means that there is workforce, but it's a bothering for the Fed, who signals that interest rates shouldn't go down as soon as expected because of this and a few other things. So what will all of this do to the stock market? We know that the stock market is high. We do know that the stock prices by themselves, if we look at the stock price compared to earnings, and we can look at book values and a few other things, we know that the stock prices, the price of a company, is very, very high as we speak for many companies, not all companies, but for many, many companies. That by itself signaling that there should be a correction down. If you look at the chart, well, the chart says that Nasdaq is in a rising trend. Everything indicates that it should continue within the trend, but it is overbought on the long-term chart. It's at the top of the chart. That is indicating that it should have a natural reaction back. Hitting 16,000 mean that we might have a double top. Spoke about that a few podcasts back. No mood to repeat that today. You just have to rewind some podcast backs. I told you what will happen if we get a double top, where will we end, etc. Take the money supply, take the fact that Nasdaq is at the upper trend, being overbought. Take into context what is happening in the Mediterranean, what is happening with all the tension. Iran is almost at the bottom of war, and we have more Taiwan, we have all of this Ukraine, all of this conflict. It's just an endless increase in geopolitical tension, despite we were promised to have the best of the best with the 2020 election and all that stuff. Well, here we are, world is at a scary place. Stock market right now is at a good place, but will it last? Well, I'm just telling you, geopolitical tensions are increasing. M2, M1 is showing retraction. Stock prices is overvalued now for most of them. Personally, I am reducing my portions of shares in the stock market, my exposure in the stock market. For those who follow, I've been doing this podcast more than 4 years. This is the fifth season of this podcast. You heard me when COVID came, market was crashing. You heard me, I'm buying. I bought in three phases. I didn't hit the very bottom. I explained to you that you seldom do. But the average was extremely good. I bought in three phases. I got 100% exposure in the market because it was oversold. Then as market moved upward to 16,000, I sold out. I was down at 30%, maybe even less than 30% at the very high, because I said, no, the market is way too high. Markets, of course, fell. Nasdaq fell all the way to 10,800 or 500, somewhere around there. And then you heard me say that now I will increase again, and I've been increasing a little bit, but not the way as I did during COVID. Now I'm telling you that I am personally reducing my exposure into the market. Doesn't mean that you should. I'm just telling what I am doing, because there are signs that the good times may soon come to an end. It may not be this week, it may not be next week, but there are really strong signals that the fun might be over for some time. Will it just be a natural correction within the trend where you have a 3 to 5 to 6% reaction down for Nasdaq, or will it be worse? We will have to deal with that when we come, but there are some major things happening in the market, and we will see. Now go and check any news channel that you want, any financial news channel that you want, and you get mixed signals. Some saying that we're heading for a huge crash, some saying we're heading for the best year in a long, long time. Impossible to make up your mind with all that. I'm just following my guts. And my guts tells me that it's time to secure some of all the profit made in this last upturn. As I told you, I've been into oil and I've been into several of the things that had such a good upturn. Oil, by the way, still at $72, and with all that tension in the Mediterranean Sea, we can just expect oil and energy prices to remain high. Ships are now sailing outside the Mediterranean, causing longer time to market, causing more cost to market. This cost has to be offloaded. It should be offloaded to interest. It should be offloaded to the end consumer, meaning that there is pressure on inflation, meaning that the interest rates still will be. Personally, Now we have the slight reaction back, but I think the interest rates will have to go higher. That's my personal opinion. And we will just see what will be. That, of course, high interest rates cause some tension for gold. You know that I went into gold at $1,600 per ounce, currently sitting at $2,040 per ounce. I believe gold should just continue upwards, but in an environment of high interest rates and expectations of high interest rates, gold is not as attractive. It's very, very simple, and also one of the reasons why the market may struggle as we move a little bit forward. If interest rates remain high, it means that you get good, safe money and return on your money in the bank. It's just as easy as that. When the interest rates go down, you do not get any interest rates in the bank. You do not get any return on your money in the bank. So you may put more into the markets, the stock markets, fueling the stock market. So what happens? Powell said it. Interest rates shouldn't go down. Went from 80% probability down to 20% currently for cut in March. So what happens now when the stock market doesn't have that fuel, this anticipation of interest rates going down, pushing more money into the market? M2 is also going down. Available cash in the money is going down. So what is happening? 10-year treasury yield is at 4.04, and I expect it will remain somewhat the same, maybe even start to increase a little bit again. What do the buy signals and the sell signals say? Well, they say that the market is in somewhat balance, because across all it's 34% buy signals, so it's somewhat okay. Nasdaq only 30%, which is not very low. It's somewhat medium, but it was a little higher, 35% last week. So how come Nasdaq went up, buy signals go down? Well, if you checked during the week, you would see that in more or less every day, it was 60% of all stocks were falling during the trading day. Most stocks did, but the Nasdaq and the index was pushed up by the heavy hitters last week, while most of the stocks were falling. New York Stock Exchange 34, London 34, Frankfurt 36, Tokyo 48, very, very high in Tokyo. They're having good days in the markets there. While CHESS in China is only 2%. Not sure if that is correct or we have a bug in the system, because 2% is extremely low, but we do know China is struggling a bit. It doesn't hold that to be accountable call, because it should be a buying opportunity of a lifetime. Now, if and when these numbers are very low, it is a buying opportunity. This number in China, I don't trust 2%, but it was 12% last week. A week before that, it was 7.19, so it is very low. Indicates to me that Chinese stocks traded in the United States may have a upside. Goes for NIO and some of these Alibaba and other stocks. They may have an upside. I decided when starting the podcast not to make it a long one. I will keep that promise for the week ahead of us. I'm not sure exactly what will happen with Nasdaq. It may move up, it may move down. My bet is that it actually will move down. I'm telling you that I think there is a huge chance as we move forward that the market may get into a wider and bigger correction down. How do you play it? That's up to you. Personally, I am doing two things. I reduce my exposures in the market. I'm doing that. Did that a little bit last week. We'll continue this week to reduce my exposure. The other thing I do is going into more secure stocks, less volatility. Yes, I may lose on the upturn. But again, if there is really bad days, that will save me a bit. The third thing, and the most important thing that I can teach you, I try to teach you for 4 years now, is use stop loss. We are very different, you and me. Some of you listening to this podcast is way too emotional. Some of you are stone cold killers. You follow the rules. You sell when the stop loss is there. You sell on the levels that you set. Even when it goes up, you just execute. But most of you will not be able to do that, because you hope too much. You hope that the stock will regain, following it down. And to make it even worse, many of you are sitting with leveraged positions, meaning that you have borrowed a lot of the money in the trade, and you have either short intervals where everything will be executed, meaning that it will be sold, so you lose all your investment if it falls below a certain threshold. Some of you have a lot of money, some of you do not have a lot of money, some of you have good brokers, some of you do not have good brokers, some of you pay high commission, some of you do not pay a very good commission. Based on all of this, the best thing I could do is just try to give you my opinion of the general market, try to teach you a few tips and tricks how to improve so you can fit your trading to the things that interest you, the sector or market that interests you, and of course according to what you can afford and not. That is why I don't list too many stocks, because I personally really love if a stock goes up 3%, and many times I can pick 3% quite easily, because 3% is really, really good money. But for most of you, it is absolutely nothing. It doesn't even cover the commission. For all of this, we have the $1,000 challenge, where I try to grow $1,000 as fast as I can. We've been in and out of a few stocks. Before Lucid, we were into NIO, had to take a loss in NIO. Before that, we was up more than 50%. Had to take a loss in NIO, fell down a little bit. Then I said, I see the upside in Lucid. First week of the Lucid trade was not the best. I bought Lucid for $265, but last week it fired up on all engines, hitting 388 high, then starting to fall a little bit back. It was cut at 373, giving 40.75% profit for Lucid. So there is quite some money in the $1,000 challenge chest right now. But I will stay into one stocks. As I told you, I will try to grow it as fast as I can. I will slowly then, as I grow it, go out to more stocks, and we will play a bit differently. But for the beginning, I will go into high risk stocks, take the chance of being wrong. And that is the thing, with high risk comes high possibilities, but also high losses, possible high profits, but also possible high losses. What will I do this one this week? Which stock will I try to buy today? I will buy it. I will post on the YouTube video when I buy it. Probably I will buy it some half hour after exchange open. I will try to see how things will go. Then I will buy it. I will buy Aher test systems, working with semiconductors, testing semiconductors, etc. Aher test systems, H-E-H-R, A-E-H-R. The ticker, Aher test systems. Now, oversold on the relative strength index for 21. Struggling has huge, currently sitting somewhere around 1470 or whatever it is. Huge resistance at $15 to $16. It will be a struggle to go through there. It can easily fall down, but if it breaks 16, it should easily go up to 20, maybe even 22. That is what I'm gambling on. Being oversold, having NVIDIA doing so good last week, still that pressure on AI, maybe even more so this week, as market will get more selective. I think AR test system can benefit from this. Hasn't had a reaction up. The trend is downward in the long term, so it's not a long-term investment. We are just in, we are out, trying to make the best we can during a week. Sometimes we have to sit 2 weeks. We will see how it will go. I will try to buy AR test systems as cheap as I can today. Post it on Facebook, the number, the price that I buy out, so you can see the trade yourself. 21 minutes into the podcast. Let's just quit it there. Hope that you will have a super week, that when we get to the next week, your portfolio is much greener than in the beginning of the week. Just have a good week, and hope we'll be back for next week's episode. Until then, bye.
Welcome to StockInvest.us Stock Analysis. We remind you that trading involves a high risk of losing money, and that you should speak with a financial advisor before buying or selling any securities. You should not base your investment decision upon StockInvest.us. By using the information, you agree and are held liable for your own investment decisions.